The New York Times has covered this story and tells us more. The Biden administration is reportedly considering providing Ukraine with the weapons necessary to target the Crimean Peninsula, an area that has proven instrumental for Russia's operations during the ongoing special operation. The Biden administration claims Kiev's position in future negotiations will be improved if the Ukrainian military can threaten Russia's control of Crimea, though such a move may increase the risk of escalating the conflict. The Biden administration officials are reportedly discussing with their Ukrainian counterparts the use of U.S.-supplied weapons, including high-mobility artillery rocket systems, or HIMARS, and Bradley fighting vehicles, to cover targets like the main land bridge that connects Crimea with the rest of Russia. According to the report, the Biden administration has so far been reluctant to provide Ukraine with the long-range missiles that Kiev would need to attack Crimea out of fear that such a move could provoke Russia and widen the conflict. The New York Times report comes amid developments indicated that the Biden administration announced a military aid package on Friday, 20th of January, that includes Stryker vehicles in addition to various artillery and ammunitions. A deployment of Strykers would mark the first time the U.S. Department of Defense, the Pentagon, has provided Ukraine with the weaponry. To date, the United States has cleared various multi-billion-dollar aid packages for Ukraine, with the largest having been announced in early January. More recently, several nations have joined the United States and announced their own military packages for Ukraine, much to the chagrin of Russia, which has condemned the move. The Washington Post has also covered this story and tells us more. The United States has announced a whopping new package of arms and ammunition for Ukraine worth $2.5 billion, defying Moscow's repeated warnings against supplying Kiev with heavy weaponry almost a year into the devastating war. The United States has by far been the largest supplier of military aid to Ukraine, despite Moscow's warnings that it would only prolong the protracted conflict. According to the Pentagon, the new military package will send Stryker armored personnel carriers for the first time to Ukraine and also provide critical support for the country's air defense amid the raging conflict. A Pentagon news release said this package provides additional NASAMS munitions and Avenger air defense systems to help Ukraine counter a range of short and medium-range threats and bolster Ukraine's layered air defense. The package does not feature Western battle tanks requested by Ukraine, but includes 59 Bradley fighting vehicles, 90 Stryker armored personnel carriers, 53 mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, and 350 high-mobility multipurpose wheeled vehicles, as well as large and small munitions. The massive package is the second largest ever announced by Washington. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said the package brings U.S. military assistance to Ukraine to some $27.4 billion. Since the start of the Russian military campaign in Ukraine last February, the United States and its European allies have supplied hundreds of armored vehicles to Kiev as part of large military packages. Britain announced recently that it would send Challenger 2 tanks to Ukraine. Denmark promised 19 French-made Caesar howitzers. Sweden promised its Archer artillery system. And Germany said recently it would provide Ukraine with the Marder armored vehicles. Finland announced on Friday, 20th of January, a new donation of more than 400 million euros worth of military equipment to Ukraine, not including Leopard 2 heavy tanks, which it said it could also send if there is an agreement with allies. The Defense Ministry said in a statement the new donation would triple the total value of Finland's military aid to Ukraine, bringing the total so far to 590 million euros. Germany has been cautious about supplying heavy weaponry to Ukraine, with the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz facing mounting pressure within Europe to authorize exports of German-made Leopard tanks. It follows a warning by Moscow against an extremely dangerous escalation if the West meets Ukraine's latest calls for longer-range missiles. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters on Thursday, 19th of January. Peskov said, "Potentially this is extremely dangerous. It will mean bringing the conflict to a whole new level, which of course will not bode well from the point of view of global and pan-European security." Russia's TASS news agency has also covered this story and tells us more. Russian ambassador to Washington Anatoly Antonov said on Wednesday, 18th of January, the U.S. State Department, with its comments about Crimea, is in fact pushing the Ukrainian authorities to carry out terrorist attacks against Russia. When asked to comment on the statement of U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price about the actual possibility of Ukrainian armed forces to strike on the Crimean Peninsula using American weaponry, the Russian diplomat said, "We can state that the rhetoric of American officials is becoming more belligerent. The U.S. State Department, through its out-of-touch assertions that Crimea is Ukraine and that the armed forces of Ukraine can use American weaponry to protect their territory, is essentially pushing the Kiev regime to carry out terrorist attacks in Russia." Antonov added, "Hearing such remarks from Washington, the extremists in Kiev will once again feel complete permissiveness. The risks of conflict escalation will only increase." According to the Russian diplomat, American journalists support such an attitude of the Biden administration and justify strikes of the Kiev regime against Crimea. The ambassador noted, "It is said that American MLRS HIMARS, as well as Bradley fighting vehicles, could be used in the future to launch the offensive in the direction of Crimea." Commentators naively believe that Russia will not respond to attacks on its territory. Antonov stressed, "It should be clear to everyone, we will destroy any weapons supplied to the Vladimir Zelensky regime by either the United States or NATO." Antonov underlined the Russian army will destroy any weapons that Western countries send to Ukraine. He stressed that pumping up Ukraine with material from the United States or other NATO countries will only lead to an increase in civilian casualties and create additional difficulties in the former Soviet Republic. Antonov concluded by saying, "Ponder over the thesis of President of Russia Vladimir Putin. It is just impossible to defeat the Russian Federation. Victory will be ours." On 24th of February, President Putin stated in a televised address that in response to a request by the heads of the Donbass republics, he had made the decision to carry out a special operation. The Russian leader stressed that Moscow had no plans of occupying Ukrainian territory.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim.
Islamite. Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. Beautiful youth station.
Yeah.
Here at your service. I am Mita.
And I'm Asma at your service. Welcome home. We're home again.
Yeah. I want to ask you something, frankly.
So directly.
So you go directly, into the topic. Yeah, exactly.
That means today we have a tough topic.
Do you have any problem with your parents? I don't know. Sometimes you are sure that they are wrong.
Yeah, and who doesn't have problem with their parents?
Thank you.
Show me someone who doesn't have problem. I mean, see, not problem as in a war.
I know.
No.
But sometimes it becomes a war.
Sometimes it's just a little misunderstanding. Sometimes it's the fact that they are not...
Only a little misunderstanding.
Only a very little.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the fact that they are not at your age, so they do not understand what you're talking about. The thing that matters to you does not matter to them at all. Sometimes it's about some details that are very important to us. But
and
it's not that important for them.
Let me mention something. This balance of power, you know, when you're a kid, your parents want to take control over you, you know, because they know that you may do something wrong.
Yeah.
But after a long time, you will gain this
independence.
And this independency,
you become a free state
for them. You know, they don't want to lose that control over you.
See, I won't call it a control because one day you're going to become a mother and then you understand.
Maybe.
Then I am not a mother myself, but I can understand that feeling.
See, me too. I can imagine.
I have a younger brother and then I feel like his mother. Because this supportiveness that you have toward them, this feeling that you want them to be always happy and always safe, makes you do things that it might look like controlling them, but it's not actually controlling them.
I know.
It's more of supporting them or just leaving them in a box safe. And you are making sure that no danger is going to get into that box.
Yeah, you were telling me some sort of cliches or something, which, I agree.
Okay.
I do agree that, they want to, protect us. They're dangerous in society. And
don't you believe that they want to protect you?
Okay. No, I believe.
So.
I know that.
First point is settled right in here.
But sometimes, there are some situations that you are sure that your parents are wrong about something.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not a misunderstanding. It's about certainty.
So how come you make sure that your parents are wrong? Do you have any tangible experience to share with us?
For example, sometimes you love something, you have passion for something which is logical.
For example, I
love literature. I know that I may be successful in that area, but my parents, because for example, we are a third world country, and in these sort of countries, it's like you have to be a doctor, you have to be an engineer to be successful or something.
In order to have a prosperous life in future.
Yeah, exactly. They force you to go through this road of, studying medicine, studying engineering or something, and you know that if you,
go the other way, you might be more successful. Yeah,
exactly.
Now I get what you say. Yeah, that's true.
This is the time that you have to go and oppose them, you know, and tell them, okay, you are wrong. You're misunderstanding my personality.
Let me tell you my reaction in those situations, and then you tell me.
Okay.
In those situations, when I am so sure they're wrong, I turn into a very nagging girl.
Thank you.
And then I want to stop nagging unless I get what I want.
Beautiful way. So wisely.
Yes. See, I talk to them logically. If they don't understand, I would insist more. And if they don't understand, then I would illogically go for the thing that I want.
You know, it is not...
Now I'm teaching you bad things.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm being the devil right in here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
In these kind of situations, I just talk to them logically and tell them with, with this beautiful soft voice, okay, I know your parents, I know you have your own reasons to tell me, for example, go this road, but I have to tell you that. And then it will end with no special conclusion.
So before we turn the table into fire, let's go for a short break and come back. This is Youth Station. I am Asma, and here I have Bita with me. We're talking about parents and the
fight.
Never-ending yeah. fight and quarrel and dispute
and misunderstanding and misconceptions so yeah.
of parents yeah. and children. See, we talked about the very fact that they're supportive. We know that they love us. We know that whatever they say is going to be for our benefit, of course. But sometimes it happens that they insist on something wrong. Like, for example, they pick my major that is going to be the thing that I'm going to end up my life with. So in these occasions, there might be different reactions. Some of us are not so cool and so easy, and we go for fights and we do things that are unwanted, but they happen because they did not pay any heed to our logical explanations. So what happens is that a war happens.
But I'm never the winner. Yeah, it's really dark.
Never, really, never?
Never, never, ever. And, you know, this is somehow...
So you should change your strategy, I suppose.
I cannot. Yeah.
Once it's out, it's out.
See, exactly.
I'm recommending you to change your strategies. Yeah. Maybe that might change a little bit
maybe,
of the story.
Maybe I will. One of the things that I want to tell you as an example here, which in compared to these kind of situation that I told you, sometimes there are some families, you know, for example, they tell their girls and so on, okay, you are too young. For example, they're 9 years old, but they tell them, okay, you're too young to make hijab or something. But, you know, that child, I don't know, according to the education at school, whatever, know that she has to make a job at that age. And these kind of conflicts...
You mean she has to go for a job?
Yeah. No. I'm not telling you she has to. She wants to.
Oh, she likes to go for
Yeah,
that.
She likes to go for
so
that.
So she is more of a trader from the age yeah. of 9. Yes, I have seen of those children.
And this is beautiful somehow for me yeah. to see that. But what is the reaction, the proper reaction that we have to have? I don't know.
See, there are two sides in this story. One is the side of parents and yeah. the other is the side of children. The side of parents, well, we know that they love us. We know that they want the best for us. Mm-hmm. And we know that as a parent, it is very difficult for you to accept that, okay, I'm going to let my child do whatever trait they have in their mind at the age of 10 or 12 or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It is very difficult. So we understand that. But we put that aside and we're talking of the side of the youth and the children, who is us, of course.
Yeah.
So, the first thing first is that we should talk. I usually say that the majority of misunderstanding that happens between parents and children and even husbands and wives and whatever disagreement that happens in this world is because of not having the true understanding of each other's perspective.
Yeah.
Because we too can sit in a special place and look at the same thing, but the thing that we see is different.
And let me tell you the conclusion of this action that you're telling me, which is really appropriate. We have to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to understand and know this fact that they are human beings too. Sometimes we make some, I don't know, idols or something like that out of our parents, and we think like, okay, they don't make mistakes, they don't, I don't know, commit sins, they don't do these, they don't do that, but it's not like that. They're human beings.
Yeah, they are human beings, and they have their own flaws as well.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes we make them that much holy or something like that, or like Santas, that we cannot accept that they can do something wrong too.
Well, let me just add something for the record. Well, in our religion, we have been always recommended to respect our parents.
Yeah.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
The one who brought me into this world was my mother and my father, and they both care for me. They love me. They have done so much for me. And if they are standing in my way for the things that I want, perhaps, and the great chance is that they are doing that out of love and they want the best for me. For example, if they ask you to go for medicine, it's because they're aware of the situation in their own country. They know that if you study that, then you're going to have a more prosperous life. if you want to be a poet, if you want to be a writer, then you're not going to have a lot of money for your future.
To some extent, I do agree with you. But why don't they ask me, for example, what is your goal of life? Maybe this prosperity, maybe this money is not whatever I want.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But then perhaps you're not in the right age to decide. Believe me, sometimes when you're in a specific age, you feel that life is just about the things, the ideal things that you have in your mind. And then as you grow older, then you come to face this life that is real. And the real life is cruel.
You're breaking my heart.
No.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm so sorry for that. I'm just giving you the reality in a gist.
Yeah, I know.
See, the true life is very much ruthless, and you have to cope up with it. And in order to cope up with it, you have to have a special facilities. You have to develop some special talents in yourself. So whatever they say, I don't mean to say that whatever they do is right, because I am of those people who believe that everyone has got a chance to live the life that they want to, whatever it is. Even if I want to end up in the streets, even if I
want to
end up as a poor person,
I want to see your children in the future.
This is your choice. Mm-hmm. You are going to be born once, and you're going to live your life once. So it is the decision of yours to make. There are children who are so reckless, and they go for some dangerous path that, as a parent, you cannot tolerate seeing that, much less thinking about that. So what happens is that they start forcing them. Of course, I do believe that forcing anyone in this world is not going to do any good, because in the end, one day, that person is going to explode.
Yeah.
And once they explode, once they boost that much of courage, then you cannot tame them. The situation is going to go out of control.
We have to have a kind of friendly relationship. By friendly relationship, I don't mean that, for example, this relationship will make that children rebellious or something that I know you have on your mind, that you're going to tell me that, okay, if you are friends with your parents, you're not going to listen to them because you're friends. You know, there should be a kind of trust.
Yeah, a trust and understanding, and also give them the chance to leave.
And also the acceptance of making mistakes. You know, sometimes you make mistakes.
Yeah, that's
true. It's a mistake, but you cannot tell them because there is not that atmosphere of acceptance of making mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, they have to accept that you are young. You lack knowledge, you lack experience, you lack everything. And in this road, you may do something wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, I do believe in that. As a human being, we have been brought into this world. And without making mistakes, sometimes we cannot learn things.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to go to the wrong path. I'm so sorry to say that, but sometimes it's the reality,
We are human.
We go for the wrong thing in order to get something very much worthy and learn a lesson that is going to do too much of goodness to me. It's not always about the experience of other people. They say, actually, there is a beautiful thing that I have read it, and it always is there in my mind. They say that to me, hearing that the sands of the shore are soft is not enough. I want to experience it myself.
Yeah.
I am not actually saying that it's okay to do all the things that comes to your mind. No, sometimes you know the result is going to end up bad. For those things, you have to stop, take a breath, and then think, and then let your parent tell you whatever logic and experience they have. Because, you know, as I told you, we have to respect them as well. No matter what, no matter how wrong they are, we have to respect them. Because at the end of the day, these are our parents, and we share a strong bond with them. So that's all.
You know, my own strategy for this kind of situation is that I always remember all the sacrifices they made in their lives because of
that's
me.
That's very true.
You know?
Tell them your ideas, respect them, and do things in a way that both sides are satisfied.
Yeah, exactly. Conversation is
always the answer. Try to understand each other. And we have to say goodbye to everyone who's listening to us.
It's so dark. The dark part of the episode is the end of that.
And it's
it's
going to be positive if we think of the other episodes.
For us.
So thank you, dear listeners. Until another session, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you with his never-sleeping eyes. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is For a Better Life for IRIB English Radio. I am Sayyid Mahdi Tawakkol, and one of my specialties is in enhancing the style for living. And my talk is based on the Quran and Islamic tradition. In this episode of the program, I will be going over a new subject that deals with the abandonment of greed in the utmost possible level. Greed, which in Arabic terminology and its Arabic equivalent is at-tama', is a selfish and excessive desire for having more than what is needed. This strong desire for demanding more and more is not confined to only money, to only wealth and property. The realm of greed is so broad, is so expansive, that can include food, power, fame, social status, and in many other things, even a demand for more attention or admiration. Let me, prior to my explanation, add that there is a fact that says no one does not need more than what he actually needs. It is very important. For example, if our body needs a fixed amount of oxygen for breathing, it is not rational that we seek to have more oxygen. Isn't it ridiculous if we see that someone is going to store and save oxygen in something like many big bottles for a rainy day for future? Of course not. Or to see that someone who lives near a river of fresh water stores a great portion of water in his house and always be greedy to store more and more. These examples show that greedy, how much could be hideous and leads to abnormality. Why these abnormal acts look like to be funny and irrational? Because people say, when you are connected to the source, what do you want to gain more than what you need? The answer is that doing these things are ridiculous and are nonsensical, since people do not need more than what they need. This is, a good expression for, stating what I want to say. A wise man does not look for something that he does not need at all. It is quoted from a famous man to have said that greed is a bottomless pit which exhausts the person in an endless effort to satisfy the need without ever reaching satisfaction. And this is the reality. Imam Ali, in one of his novel narrations, says, "Whoever indulges in greed has humiliated himself." Someone who is greedy, who wants more than his right and more than his need, usually exposes himself to many sources of disadvantagement, to many sources of abnormalities. As a result, as the Imam says, "Azra bi nafsihi," the greedy man despises himself in the eyes of others. Let me talk about this narration more. It is obvious that greedy people have to submit to any humiliation in order to reach their goal and request everyone. They debase their character in order to fulfill their greedy wills. When these people see that their strong desires are not satiable, they try to cling to any sorts of available means. They may ask others to help them in situations that they really do not need help, or for example, ask others to borrow them money to do some transactions to gain some interest, but find it difficult to return the money back and faced with many problems. These problems could be troublesome for them, and still they want more and more, especially more than something that they do not need. Is it wise and normal? Let's have a short break, and I will be back in a minute. We were talking about greed and that how it would bring about a negative effect in our life. Greed is the insatiable desire for more. Far too often, greed comes with stress, exhaustion, anxiety, and depression. In addition, it can lead to some guilty behavior patterns, such as gambling, hoarding, trickery, and even theft. For example, in financial matters, sometimes greed makes people do some stupid things. For instance, they embezzle so much and gain a lot of money that they even cannot spend it in their lifetime. In addition to the fact that these properties are ritually forbidden, they are haram, and God will punish them. Sometimes these people will be arrested, will be captured, and their respect in society will be lost, and also the money they have embezzled will also be taken away from them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, with regard to being greedy, the worst person is the one who has the trait of greed that causes defect in him. A man who is greedy can never be generous and is usually stingy. If he spends money as if his heart is going to stop, someone should ask a greedy man that why he tries that much hard just for not using what he earns. This is why the Holy Prophet and Imams have blamed greed strongly. Being unsatisfied, collecting such a wealth which can be spent even in a lifetime, is a trait which eradicates people's peace and serenity. Greed is an intense and severe selfish desire, and a greedy man always wants to have more, and it can destroy relationships at work, home, and everywhere. Someone who is greedy in, for example, financial matter, do not spend. The one who is greedy in fame and reputation always wants to be higher than others and more important than others in a non-stop way. This man will become also jealous, since he compares himself to others and say to himself that someone else will always have more than me, so it leads to jealousy. Greed sometimes brings about dishonesty, since if you are a greedy person, you will eventually end up lying and cheating to get more for yourself, to get money in an abnormal and illegal ways. Another defect of greed is that a greedy man only have relationship with people who can help him get more. And those relationships are always shallow and not deep. His focus is usually on himself and on his desires, so he loses the required vision. At the end of the day, he will never be satisfied. never be satisfied with life, since his heart is full of greed and his goal is always to gain more, while there is no end for this goal. Consequently, we should be happy only with what we have, we possess, and try only to acquire what we need. More than that is only resultant in many sorts of defect, sins, and imperfection, and even humiliation, as we have quoted from Imam Ali. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share.
A new report from Oxfam has revealed that the UK and US weapons sold to Saudi Arabia are fueling civilian deaths in Yemen. The charity is calling on governments to stop selling weapons to the Saudi-led coalition. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote in this regard, an Oxfam report, which analyzed 1,727 attacks on Yemeni civilians since the start of 2021, shows that at least 839 civilians were killed and 1,775 others were wounded during this time. 87 of the deaths were caused by airstrikes alone. The aircraft used in the attacks, over half of which were British-made, used cluster bombs, the use of which is banned by international law. The fatalities were due to artillery strikes, missile barrages, drone attacks, landmines, roadside bombs, and the use of light arms. According to another report by an American think tank, The American Thinker, Saudi Arabia spends some $200 million per day to hire mercenaries and maintain the arms supply. A large portion of this money goes to the UK for purchasing Typhoon and Tornado aircraft, Pei-Wei bombs, as well as Brimstone and Storm Shadow missiles, making the UK fully complicit in the crimes committed against Yemeni civilians, as stated by the International Development Committee of the UK. Given that the UK has a long history of defense exports to Saudi Arabia and its coalition partners, and considering the evidence, it seems inevitable that any violations of international humanitarian and human rights law by the coalition have involved armaments supplied from the UK. These arms have also been used by the Saudi-led coalition to bomb health facilities on 19 separate instances, which constitutes war crimes. Oxfam's policy advisor Martin Butcher called on the UK government to immediately cease its arms sales to the Saudis. He also pointed out the hypocrisy of UK sanctions against Russia, while turning a blind eye to the blatant war crimes of the Saudi coalition in Yemen. Mr. Butcher also highlighted the fact that the UK government still continues to sell arms to Saudi Arabia, being its second biggest arms supplier, which will inevitably be used in the war against Yemen. He revealed that the UK government have not only been arming Saudi Arabia, but have also been very reluctant to use their position on the United Nations Security Council to push for peace. Saudi Arabia is the biggest importer of arms in the world, second only to a country with 40 times the population of the KSA. In the year 2020 alone, the kingdom imported nearly $1 billion worth of arms, the majority of which came from the U.S. This, however, does not stop the U.S. from parroting a tired narrative of pushing for peace in Yemen when, in reality, they even hesitate to call it a war. This is apparent by President Biden's initial pledges to end the war during his presidential campaign while continually supplying arms to the kingdom to this very day. However, the weapons fragments emblazoned with US and UK branding paint a starkly different picture. The six-month United Nations-sponsored truce, which was supposed to be the grounds for longer-standing solutions, was also very quickly and repeatedly violated by the Saudi regime. This is what Yemen's Ansarullah resistance movement sees as the reason for the temporary truce. With all options exhausted, the Ansarullah movement has now said that it will inevitably launch missile strikes deep inside Saudi and UAE territories. This comes amid reports that the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is looking to find a way out of the incredibly costly Yemen war. The Lebanese Al Akbar newspaper wrote, Riyadh is now showing a lot of flexibility during negotiations, is currently has no concern other than getting security guarantees that the strategic facilities deep inside the country would not be hid. It has abandoned the illusion of turning Yemen into a country under its tutelage and has instead sufficed for security assurances. However, this report needs further corroboration. While the Saudi coalition has indeed failed in its attempts to strangle Yemen into submission, their aggression succeeded in bringing about what the UN describes as the world's worst humanitarian crisis in Yemen.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atah, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Nur Muhammadpour. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, brother. All in all, in the history of religions, there has been always a significant role considered for God or the Almighty God. In Islam, it is called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
But sometimes because of the hardships and the difficulties, trial and tribulations of the life, the people lose their hope. Up to an extent that they become suspicious, one, about the existence of God, and second, about the role of God in their lives. What's your answer to such people?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, that very important question, and unfortunately, as you said, in the time of the disaster and turmoil, some people, lose the hope, and they have kind of despair.
Yes.
And depressed, and sometimes some of them unfortunately commit suicide.
Yes.
Because of the, maybe, for example, economic problems or maybe because of the other emotional problems and so on and so forth.
Yes.
You know, in the time of the disaster and the time of the hardships, it is very important to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's
to
right.
strengthen your belief system. It is okay. very important. And to be hopeful of future and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the concept of the husnul dhann billah, to be hopeful and confident of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And in fact, to be optimistic about His mercy.
Exactly, to be optimistic of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the future.
Yes,
you know, to do your best actually to plan for your future. And trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trust in your abilities and potential power that mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embedded within you.
That's right.
It is very important.
Okay.
Because each and every human being, they have different capacities, different, you know, potentialities.
Yes.
We should trust in our, you know, capacities and try to do our best and to plan for the future. And not to be despairing. It mm-hmm. is very important.
Yes.
You know, the husnul dhannu billah actually means to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be hopeful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe in future, maybe after some days, everything would be changed for you and the doors of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be opened for you again.
That's right.
You know, I think it is very important, you know, for the most of the people to have this kind of optimistic approach toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we have the concept of su'ud dhannu billah.
Yes.
Which means to be despairing, to be hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very dangerous for the mentality of human being.
That's right.
And it causes a lot of problems for them.
Is it a kind of shirk? I mean, if you lose your hope in Allah, because the atheists nowadays not only lost their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also they remove the whole position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, isn't it?
You know, about it, to be hopeless of the mercy of Allah, you know, which means actually su'ud dhannu billah, we cannot say it is kind of polytheism itself, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay.
You know, per se, it is not polytheism. Maybe sometimes when you have, you know, special beliefs, for example, you do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or, you know, different kinds of different branches of the polytheism. It has its own story. We do not want to go to the detail of that. But we are talking about the, you know, to have this kind of, you know, to be pessimist about the future and lose your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's per se, it is not polytheism.
That's right.
But actually, it is, you know, it's considered to be seen, you know, because we have in different narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam, I will share some of them that, you know, maybe in future, I mean, in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish you having this kind of despairing. You know that actually to lose your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered to be one of the great grave sins. You know, al-ya'su min rawhillah. You know, it has been mentioned to be despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally speaking, it's considered to be one of the grave sins. And actually, to have this kind of despairing for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the branches of that al-ya'su min rawhillah. You know, generally speaking, let me share some of the narrations of Ahlul Bayt.
Very good.
We have very beautiful narration from the noble prophet Muhammad. He said that وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَا أُعْتِيَ مُؤْمِنٌ قَطُّ خَيْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا بِحُسْنِ ذَنِّهِ بِاللَّهُ وَرَجَائِهِ لَهُ.
That's right.
Noble prophet Muhammad, he said that I swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no believer and faithful person, he did not given the, you know, benefits of this world and the hereafter, except via his or her, you know, optimism to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
You know, wa raja'ihi lah, which one noble Prophet Muhammad wanted to explain this, you know, issue. To be hopeful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the ways to receive the mercy of Allah, to be, you know, to receive the benefit of this world and hereafter,
is to be
optimistic for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. It is very important.
Yes, that's right.
And then he said, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ لَا يُعَذِّبُ اللَّهُ مُؤْمِنًا بَعْدَ التَّوْبَةِ وَالْإِسْتِخْبَارِ إِلَّا بِسُوءَ ذَنِّهِ بِاللَّهِ. You know, I want to focus on this part of the beautiful prophetic narration. He said that he again swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah would not punish any faithful person, male or female, except because of their despairing of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's
so
right.
I want to say that to be hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered to be one of the grave sins.
That's right.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And in most of the cases in the daily lives of the people, when people face financial problems,
exactly,
monetary problems,
yes,
or for example, they lose one of their dear ones, okay?
Yes.
We could see during the pandemic COVID-19, for example, so many dear ones and the loved ones of the people passed away, okay? In such situations, usually the people, those who do not have that much of a strong faith, they lose their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first concept that comes to their mind to violate is the adala and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's talk a little bit about this point. I mean, how to be optimist about, we can say, the adala and the sense of the ad and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because usually the people lose hope in his adala.
You know that about talking about the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, it's true. Because some people, unfortunately, when they stuck in one, maybe, for example, economic problems,
yes,
they immediately accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of not to be just,
yes,
for them. But you know that talking about this issue very briefly, you know that sometimes many problems that we occur is because of the mismanagement or misplanning of some of us.
That's right.
It is very important.
Okay.
For example, we have bima kasabat aydihim. It's due to your sin, due to your mismanagement and misplanning.
That's,
you
right,
know, many problems. For example, you mentioned the economic problems.
Yes.
Sometimes it's because of these,
yes,
issues. On the other hand, we have the some of the problems that we face is because of our evil actions.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have committed a lot of sins.
Yes.
Then we cannot expect the mercy of Allah subhanahu,
yes,
wa ta'ala. Of course, we should not lose our hope to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this committing a lot of evil actions has its own impact on,
yes,
the life of the,
yes,
human being.
Yes.
It causes a lot of corruption,
yes,
for the society and for,
mm-hmm,
the people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Another philosophy of the hardships and difficulties is for the testing of the perfection of human being.
That's
whether,
right,
you are, for example, you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the, your faith toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes wanted to test you. Why are these hardships and difficulties? I want to say that we have many other philosophies for the, these kind of disasters which human being face, it has its own philosophy, but it has nothing to do with the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, He is, merciful, just, and He behaves human being according to the justice and His mercy.
That's all right. And automatically, if you are suspicious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy, you will be suspicious about your brothers and sisters in faith around in the society too, isn't it?
Exactly. Very beautiful point. You know, when you imagine that in the time of the hardships and difficulties, you have this optimistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
You see how beautiful is that? You do not lose your trust. You do not lose your hope for the future, for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let plan again. Let try our best again. It is very beautiful. Rather than, for example, feeling to suicide, feeling, despair, and, you do not reluctant to do anything.
Yes.
These kind of ideas, unfortunately, very harmful for the, mental health of the human being. And it has a lot of problems and, it causes a lot of, many other problems for the human being.
That's
so
right.
I think having and maintaining this kind of perspective toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always try to refresh your soul,
yes,
and wait and to be expectant of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, it's very beautiful and we should have it.
Give us some examples about despair. Or feeling despair about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
One of the examples which has been mentioned in our narrations is not to get married because of the poverty.
Yes.
Let me share what one of the narrations, Imam As-Sadiq, he said that مَنْ تَرَكَ التَّزْوِيجْ مَخَافَةَ الْفَقْرِ فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ.
Yes.
If you do not get married because of poverty, financial poverty actually, then you lost your hope toward the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes.
It is, very important. And Imam said that the reason of that, he said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, إِن يَكُونُوا فُغَرَى يُغْنِهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Because this is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have some kind of poverty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give you a lot of mercy, a lot of, wealth in order to provide for you the, the marriage,
yes,
for you.
Yes.
In this narration, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam mentions one of the examples of losing your hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we have many other points. For example, to be cowardice is,
yes,
considered to be one of the examples of losing your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-jubnu wal-hirsu wal-bukh gharaizu su yajma'uha su'uddannu billah. Cowardice and stinginess and greedy, all of them they considered to be some branches of the, losing your hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, Imam wanted to say that if you have these traits of losing your hope and despair toward the mercy of Allah, it has a lot of consequences for you.
Yes.
One of which is, stinginess, greedy, and this kind of negative trait within the human being. It causes a lot of, trauma for you. And these examples and branches are some of these samples and, examples for losing your trust and hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Nur Mahpur, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of despair and feeling suspicious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and why do the people lose their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. And we hope that we do not lose our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty. He is the absolute source of mercy and rahmah for all creatures, not only on earth, but the whole universe. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Husayn.
A diverse range of programs.